everyone to a fantastic new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper, and welcome back to part three of our coverage of the New York City Fringe Festival. We have another amazing panel of artists with fantastic shows to share with you today. All of our artists on this episode are showcased at the 14Y Theater. The New York City Fringe Festival is running April 3rd through the 21st under St. Mark's, The Wild Project, and 14Y Theater. And you can get your tickets and more information by visiting frigid.nyc. The artists we have joining us today are Kim Barkey, Volva Vavoom, Jude Trader Wolf, Edu Diaz, Sarah Raj, Lauren O'Brien, Rachel Redleaf, and Bridget Rose Parada. This is another group of incredible artists, and we can't wait to learn more about their work. So with that, let us welcome on our guests. Everybody, welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yay. Thank you.
You all, I mean, I wish our listeners could see. This is just a wonderful panel of people with just lit up faces, and I can't wait to get into this. So I want to start by asking all of you to tell us a little bit about your show. And Kim, if we could start first with you and your show, Blocks of Sensation.
Sure. So Blocks of Sensation is a true story about how I worked to fight opioid addiction as a scientist in the 1990s, as a graduate student and a postdoc, and then faced it at home years later with my son, who's a recovering addict.
What?
So it's a comedy. No, it's not a comedy. Far from that. But it's a true story. And I think it's about that subject, but I think it's also about facing your shame, whatever your shame is, and being vulnerable.
That's amazing. What a great show. Volva Vavoom, you've got Transmasculine Cabaret. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, thank you so much. So I've been performing as Volva Vavoom for 18 years. I started in the underground nightclub cabaret circuit, and I've got a great plastic surgeon. I do a song and dance variety act. It's very edgy and provocative, but I was raised to be a triple threat in a traditional classical studio in a conservative southern farming town, which was a real bad place to be trans-identifying in the 80s and 90s. So I developed the coping mechanism of everything is a joke, everything has to be a laugh, you have to lean real hard into that humor. So the conflict within the show is not just my personal trans-identifying experiences, but it asks us some questions about what happens when someone who has to make everything into a joke can't rely on comedy for their tragedy.
That is a wonderful sounding word. Good for you.
Thank you.
Bridget, I would love to know more about your work in Harmony.
I would love to tell you. Okay, so Awaken, Explore, and Transform, Repeat. In Harmony is a devised ensemble musical theater experience connected by a theme-based narrative told through rich group harmonies, solos, spoken word, movement, and dance.
That is fantastic.
Thank you.
Jude, what about you with your show, Faster?
Well, my show, Faster, brings two worlds together. I'm a therapist, and I'm also married to a person who is exactly the opposite me in every way in terms of how he thinks about change and how he approaches change. And as I've been a therapist for a million years, I've noticed that the pace of change as it's picking up speed is affecting people's mental health. It's making people feel, it's messing with our heads. So comedy helps, improv helps us grow a bigger brain. So the show is this combination of true stories about living with somebody who I say, take a leap, and he says, no leaping, lots of looking. And that's our life together, sort of lurching down the road of life together and looking at how the pace of change is messing with our heads. And there's music and improv and storytelling mixed up together.
That's very cool. Rachel, can you tell us about your show, Too Much of a Good Thing?
Yes, I'd love to. It's all about my boobs.
My boobs have always been a humongous, pun intended, part of my identity. So when I decide to get a breast reduction, my boobs obviously have a say. So on this production, you'll join me as I enlist my subconscious and my talking tits to help me decide, can you have too much of a good thing?
I love it. That's incredible.
Thank you.
Edu, why don't you tell us a bit about your show, A Drag Is Born?
Oh my God. I gotta say that this is my debut in English. So my apologies, in a podcast. So I'm so honored to be here in yours. A Drag Is Born is nonverbal celebration of queer empowerment. It's an autobiographical show about a guy, a middle-aged man, I mean me, that suddenly becomes a drag queen on stage for the first time. So the show is a rare blend of clown, physical theater, drag, of course, and you know, the message is like, it's never too late to embrace your true self.
That is so wonderful. Lauren O'Brien, you've got a show called Lolo's Boyfriend Show. Can you tell us about that?
I do. Thank you. I'm really excited about it. It's about dating in New York, so it's a tragedy. It's kind of like Fleabag meets Lucille Ball with a dark underbelly. And it's kind of, it's this young woman's journey of finding her true self and her true voice, like the agony of going from placing her value outside of herself to in her own heart. And it's a lot of fun. I laugh a lot in it. I get to play about 20 characters and sing some songs and do about 15 costume changes. So it's a lot of fun. I'm having a great time. I'm on the edge of my seat to share this with all of you and to see all of your shows. They all sound so exciting.
That is so wonderful.
Thank you.
Rounding us out, we've got Sarah Raj with her show, Yoga for Billionaires. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, sure. I'd love to. So Yoga for Billionaires is an immersive comedy that pokes fun at our obsession with extreme wealth. So it really just makes fun of American culture's interest in Eastern spirituality, but it's like nonstop infatuation with money. So I am a stand-up comedian and also a yogi. And so I wrote, directed, and star in the show along with my very disgruntled assistant, Lindita Kula, who we play, you know, this sort of just very odd couple duo of me being this megalomaniac yoga guru and this totally not motivated assistant who together we host, you know, a yoga retreat that where everything goes wrong and that, you know, where we've designed these like billionaire yoga asanas based on our most beloved billionaires. And while we're doing it, you know, we're making all kinds of commentary on wealth, class, et cetera, et cetera. So it's fun.
Fantastic. Well, listeners, as you can hear, there's just wonderful work spanning the gamut happening at 14 White Theater. And I want to dive a little bit more into these. And I want to start with Lauren. Can you tell us what it's been like developing Lolo's Boyfriend Show?
Well, thank you so much for asking me that. It's been quite a journey. It started in 2020, and I actually did the New York City Fringe Festival. It was called Frigid at the time, with my solo show, Jackson Lolo. And we actually won that festival. And the show got, the show got some attention. And I was really excited about taking it different places. And then the pandemic happened and everything got shut down. And of course, the show getting shut down, it's, you know, it's low on the list of tragedies that happened during that time, but it was heartbreaking for me. And I always wanted to write about dating in New York because I got some good stories, friends have some good stories, met a lot of weirdos. So I started just, I had a lot of downtime. So I started just writing these stories down. And then I actually wrote a book called Lolo's Boyfriend Book, and then started reading excerpts of that book around and decided to turn it into a solo show. And it's been a very long process. I workshopped it with Matt Hoverman. Maybe some of you guys know Matt Hoverman. And then I further developed it with my director, Christine Bacor. And I've been rehearsing a lot. My friends haven't seen me. I'm basically in my little cave rehearsing a lot. And it's been, and you know, I wrote a book version that's 75,000 words, and then we cut it down to about a two-hour show, and then we cut it down to 90 minutes. So it's been a big process on developing the characters. So I'm excited to leave the house and show it to you guys.
Wonderful. Kim, I would love to know more about what it's been like developing your show, Blocks of Sensation.
Yeah, it's been really interesting. I'm not an actor. You know, I've been working as a creative director. I was a scientist. So this is all new to me. But I have the great fortune of working with Linda Mussman, who's the co-director of Time and Space Limited. And she's been doing this for 50 years. She's an incredible director, but she usually only directs her own work. So it took a lot of convincing. I'm very grateful to her. So she turned this from a script into a show. I mean, she just came up with everything, you know. Originally, I thought, well, maybe we'll project things. And she was like, are you doing a movie or are you doing a play? You know, so she came up with staging for this one-person play that's, you know, kind of, I think, really interesting and hopefully keeps people engaged. So I've been working on this. We started over a month ago. We're doing a preview this Friday at her theater in Hudson. And she's investing a lot of time in this and has very high expectations for me, and which I find very motivating. And the hardest part is memorizing. I mean, so Lauren, I can relate. I just feel like I'm cramming for final exams or something. But it's been amazing.
It's so wonderful to hear. I love it. Jude, I'm very interested in your work faster. This sounds fascinating. I can relate to the relationship there. So what has it been like developing this piece?
Well, it's really been fun, and it's been a long process of putting this particular show together. So I'm excited about combining these two worlds of talking about the pace of change and making comedy out of what that's kind of doing to our heads, because I do think it's something important to talk about, that it's affecting our stress level, but it's also our perception of the world. And at the same time, I've been telling stories. I tell stories in lots of different shows around town and around the country, actually. And I've been focusing on these stories about being married to someone who is so opposite of me. You know, I say, let's take the road not taken. He says, there's definitely a reason why people aren't going down that road. That's us together. And so we're always lurching down any kind of decision we make. And when I worked with people on processing their life around change, there's this like desire to change, or there's like the world is moving fast. But inside, human beings do not change quickly. Inside, we change very slowly. So looking at my husband and I, as the tension between us is also the comedy that's between us. So I tell those stories in shows all over the last 2 years. And I pulled them together and wove them together with this other information about how improv changes your brain. So the tag of my show is faster. The pace of change is picking up speed. We're going to need a bigger brain. And I think we can grow a bigger brain. And that's kind of that's really what the show is really about. But I'm having fun working with people doing improv and also doing stories and then putting them all together and cramming them together and then like funneling it into this thing called Faster.
Fantastic. I love it. Vulva Va-Voom, I've got to come to you now and I've got to find out more information about this show, Transmasculine Cabaret. What has it been like developing it?
So I've got several full-length shows, and I've done hundreds of I've done hundreds of sets over the years. So I have a method. You start out, you know, you've got your point A, you know, you want to eventually get to point B. Where are the points we want to hit along that journey? For my style, I have to figure out how to fit in the song or dance numbers in an organic way without just jamming them in there. You have to figure out how to write a lot of jokes that land. But this development process was really, really painful because this is currently my only tragicomedy. I had to explore some really difficult memories of being bullied and of being in fear for my life. As we all know, unfortunately, a beautiful young person named Nex just recently lost their life. And that's very similar, you know, kind of fear that non-binary people face a lot. But so I had to weave all of that in. I'm a trans-identifying person living in Florida, but also my audience always expects to laugh. So I have to navigate tone in a very, very careful way and bring them through the dynamic. You can't just take a sudden sharp turn from laughter to seriousness, or else you're going to lose folks along the way.
Yes, that is so fantastic. I'm loving that show.
Oh, thank you.
Sarah, I want to come back to you now and your show, Yoga for Billionaires. What is the message or thought you're hoping that audiences take away from your piece?
That's a really good question. I mean, one of the main reasons I wanted to write theater is because I feel like so much in our society, we're watching things online by ourselves. And so I wanted to really sort of break that and make an immersive show. So it's like this collective communal experience where we're laughing together, we're laughing at each other. It's totally immersive. And also I wanted to just sort of make fun of the way that money is almost like a god to us in our society. It drives our politics, our media. You know, we almost think of billionaires as like heroes or people we worship, right? And so I just wanted to sort of poke fun of that. And I think there's a lot of interest in sort of, you know, in Eastern spirituality and meditation and yoga. And I feel, you know, a lot of the times we do it because we want to, like, we have these, you know, sort of, you know, really materialistic goals that we want to reach. Like, I'm going to meditate for abundance and like a better job, you know, and all these things. And so just poking fun of that and just sort of wanting people to, I guess, come away like feeling that joy and connection with each other, and also sort of thinking a little bit more critically about what is this culture that we've created for ourselves. So, yeah.
Very cool. I love that. Edu, I want to come to you now with that same question. What is the message or thought you hope audiences take away from A Drag Is Born?
Look, Andrew, I've been thinking of that question for a long time. I want the audience to have fun. You know, that's my only ambition with this show, but I'm doing activism. I'm doing at the same time, but I don't want them to notice that. So, yes, the show, I was listening to Baboon, and I was feeling really compelled because, you know, as a queer person with 40 years old, now I'm looking backwards, thinking how many times do I have had to hide or being a different person? And as I see how hate speech goes all around the world, I also think about my position as a queer guy and my responsibility as well. And that's it. But your question, your question is, I want the audience to have fun. Like, you know, they hopefully they'll have the message and the activism like very organically.
Absolutely adore that. That's wonderful. Rachel, I gotta know, with your show, Too Much of a Good Thing, what is the message or thought you are hoping that audiences take away?
You know, it's really about growth and empowerment and body positivity. I do it through all these characters and different sketches, and I really hope to make people laugh and cry, but mostly laugh, and to maybe feel empowered to to talk as strongly about their body as I do. You know, I'm very confident and I want to inspire other people to show that confidence.
Brilliant. That's great. And rounding us out on this question, Bridget, I would love to know the message or thought you're hoping the audiences walk away with from your wonderful show, In Harmony.
Yes, absolutely. So a little bit of a backstory. This is actually my producing and directing partner, Yang Chen, and I's third rendition of In Harmony. We had sold out versions in 2021 and 2022 that were literally the most fun I've ever had in my life. So we decided we wanted to come back bigger and better with our third version. And Yang and I sat down, and usually we anticipated maybe 2 or 3 hour sessions to talk about what we wanted to do, but they ended up being 7 hour sessions every single time. And we really got lost in what is the message we're trying to tell? What do we feel really passionate about in our mid to late 20s at this time? What musical theater songs are really speaking to us? What kind of people do we want in the show? How many people? So we roundabout figured out we wanted about 18 people. We wanted many instruments involved. We wanted spoken word. We wanted movement and a beautiful lighting design as well. And we got our wonderful people on board to tell this story. And we ended up, as I said before, talking a little bit about the awakening, exploring and transforming, and what it means to be human. And if I had to condense it all into one sentence that I want audiences to take from this show, it would be, even after you grow, you're not finished.
That is really, really great. So wonderful works dealing with a myriad, as I said, of subjects, which is so wonderful. A great wide-reaching audience, or a great swath of audience, it seems like you're all trying to reach. And that leads to my final question in the first part, which is for all of you. And that is, who do you hope have access to your show? And Jude, I'm going to start with you first on that, and faster.
The show has definitely a reach to people who are interested in personal growth and mental health, of course, because of talking about the impact of stress and kind of understanding that in a way that is fun and comedic, but also very true. And when people see the stories or have seen various iterations of the show, they will always say, it made me feel so much less crazy, less stressed, and more aware that I can manage this, because it isn't that there's something wrong with me. It's something that the world is doing to me. And also that, so that the mental health world, I think, has benefited from it. And I definitely want to reach out to those people, people who love storytelling, you know, and people who are interested in change and the impact of change, which is kind of everyone, but I mean, people that are interested in like their inner life, I guess.
That is wonderful. Rachel, I'm going to come to you next on that. Who do you want to have access to your show?
Yeah, I'd say anyone who has ever had conflicting feelings about any sort of transformation that they feel they need to make. People who've had awkward body experiences as a teenager, and people with crazy Jewish mothers.
Yes. Sarah, how about you?
I think Rachel Resnick, who's the director of Edu's show, A Drag Is Born, I asked her, I was like, how should explain the show, because we were in the Fizz Fest this January, and I was like, what's the best like one-liner, do you think? And I pitched her a few, and she told me you know, it's a political comedy, but crowds are, you don't pitch it as a smart comedy, just people like to be dumb, and like it should be for everyone, and your stuff is funny enough for everyone. And I was like, okay, so it's for the masses. But I mean, I'm a South Asian artist, you know, my family's from India, and I know that there's not a lot of theater artists that, you know, kind of are putting up shows in North America who are from my background. So I know for a lot of people from like the South Asian community or just people of color, being able to like, you know, I think I've noticed from the several times we put up the show through the People's Improv Theater and at a couple of different festivals, they really get a kick out of it. And I also, there's been a number of like kids who've come to this show, like kids like around 10 or 12, and they love it too. So I think that's kind of fun. So it's almost like for everyone. But yeah, I really like my favorite comedians are like Eddie Murphy and Ali Wong and Dave Chappelle. And like, so, and we have a lot of original music. So a lot of it sort of mixes sort of this Indian vibe and this hip hop and some sort of like, I don't know, jokes. Like, sorry, that's not, it's not super succinct, but it's sort of this world that's Indian, but also hip hoppy and also political comedy. So yeah, whoever likes that kind of stuff.
Awesome. Bridget, who do you hope have access to your work?
I would say any musical theater lovers of all ages will definitely enjoy our show. We have a lot dealing with age and growth in that sense. So I think people of all ages can find that nugget of wisdom or truth or gold within the show. And I'd also like to mention, we have on our ticket scale, we have more accessibly priced tickets as well as patron tickets so that more people have access to our show.
It is wonderful. Kim, I'm going to jump to you. Who do you hope have access to your work, Blocks of Sensation?
Well, I mean, anyone who really loves deeply personal stories without too much cringe. I'm really working on that part. Anyone affected by addiction, for sure, and not just addiction to substances. I don't want to give too much away, but we're also donating a portion of the proceeds to Truth Farm, which is an organization that's doing a lot of really amazing work advocating and trying to, you know, reduce the harm of substance use. Mothers, scientists, those who are looking for a way out, you know, past shame and guilt. Queers, you know, I came out in my early 40s after being married to my children's father for 20 years, and that was a big traumatic event for all of us, I think. Writers and anyone who has attachment issues, I think that includes everybody.
Fantastic. Lauren, who do you hope have access to your work?
All the people who are experiencing the horrors of modern dating. And it's a fun show, but we also are shining a light on some difficult topics. So also, especially any young women who've struggled, but I know any person who's struggled with self-hate and self-harm, any kind of love addiction, the show kind of shines a light on those issues too. Anyone who needs to change poison into medicine, because I hope what the show does is that.
I love it.
Yay.
Edu, what about you? Who do you hope have access to your piece?
Well, I would say if you like clown, you should come. If you like drag, colorful outfits, a nice musical selection, and if you want to have fun, you should come. Then I gotta say that I'm a producer as well, and I love setting like impossible targets for my shows. So my impossible target for this show is Republicans and homophobic people. I want them to come. I don't know because with the title of my show, it's very unlikely, but you know, there's nothing impossible.
I was gonna say that never say never, you never know.
Yeah, but also, you know, I would love this show to reach kids as well. So I'm devising the show actually. So I'm trying just to keep like very innocent so the show reaches like a broad audience.
Love it. That's wonderful. And bringing us home, Volva Vavoom, who do you hope have access to your work?
I would love to see some LGBTQ+ allies, hopefully, but it's relevant to anybody who's struggled with their own sense of identity and finding coping mechanisms that work. Anybody who can relate to my very distinctive style, a combination of highbrow culture meets lowbrow humor. My nightclub act has trouble finding homes outside fringes because it's too smart for dive bars, but it's too dirty for fancy ones. So I describe it as Frasier and Niles Crane, but they're drunken, singing, dancing strippers. And they're cheap because I am also participating in the scaled admissions system.
of our interview, we love letting our listeners get to know our guests a little bit better. Pull the curtain back, if you will. And I want to ask all of you my favorite question to ask guests. And that is, what is your favorite theater memory? I saw Bridget, yes.
I love talking about this because I don't talk about it much, but it was my first experience playing a character in a musical. I was Cat in the Hat in Seussical the Musical Junior in fifth grade. And if you are not familiar with the show, Cat in the Hat starts out, at least in our production, on stage with the hat. And there's nothing like that feeling of before the curtain opens, just that feeling of, oh my gosh, I get to tell this story. And I don't know, that's when this all began and why I'm here today, honestly.
Yes, we love a good origin story. Thank you for that. Yes, sir.
Yeah. I played Puck in A Midsummer Night's Dream when I was like 10 years old at school. And I loved that experience of almost like the magic and the power, because Puck has like several monologues. And I just remember as a child sitting on the edge of the stage, sort of at the final scene, and like there being pin drop silence in the audience as I was sort of narrating sort of the moral of the story in the last lines. And I just found that to be so powerful, and so like just that connection between everyone was really so special. And I remember like, because I went to this middle school where there were like kids from kindergarten to grade eight, and the younger kids would see me in the hall and they would sort of imitate Puck as I had sort of created them. And I thought that was cool. I don't know. So that's sort of what got me hooked into it.
That is fantastic. Another great origin story. We love it. Rachel, yes.
Okay, so one of my biggest heroes is my grandma, and she took me to my first Broadway show when I was 4. I saw The Lion King, which is often many people's first Broadway shows, but she tells me that she saw me get the theater bug in that theater. Like, she just saw my eyes lit up. And then after the show, we went to the stage door and the lead actor's limo was waiting. And my grandma is so good with people, and I don't know how, but he said, I'm waiting for a long time. Like, I'll give you guys a ride home. So we got to ride home in the lead actor's limo, which was awesome.
What an incredible story. Wow. Thank you for that. Yes, Jude.
I'm going to yes and what you just said very briefly with I'm cheating a little bit with a short memory. And then I wanted to say what my favorite theater experience of my own is. But I took my godson to see Matilda on Broadway. And at 5, for his 5th birthday. And then we met the cast at the back. And it was his first time at the backstage thing, meeting the kids that were just on stage. And then we memorized all the songs and sang them all the time. And seeing him light up and feel understood and heard, and realizing all the possibilities of theater, was absolutely one of my proudest moments as a godmother. But I do want to say, as a performer, my favorite theater experience, no matter how many shows I've been in over my life, was when I was the storyteller, the monologist for the Armando Diaz Experience at the Magna Theater, which is monologues or stories. And then the improvisers, and they're some of the best in the city at Magnet, improvise a long form storytelling improv show inspired by the stories that I told. And I had been such a fan of that show since it began. So being on stage with them and getting to tell my stories and have those stories inspire improv is one of my very favorite memories that continues to excite me.
That is such a great memory. Thank you for that. Edu, yes, go ahead.
One of the beautiful things about A Drag Is Born is that I have like recent memories, like amazing theater memories. And the show began as a sketch, and I had the opportunity to perform a 20-minute iteration at the Stonewall Inn. And yes, that was a dream. That was a dream, you know, where Pride began. So that was a dream. And the audience went that crazy that I suddenly was like self-aware on the stage, like, what is happening? You know, like they were like really enthusiastic. And I would say it was my best time ever on stage.
That is incredible. What a great memory. Yes. Thank you for that. Yes, Volva Vavoom.
Okay, so people who aren't fandom nerds need context for this story. So you have to know that Dr. Martin Luther King was a Star Trek fan. And when Nichelle Nichols was leaving the TV show, MLK personally asked her to stay on because she was this positive icon for Black visibility. And Nichelle Nichols was a legend. So we fast forward to many decades later, to a night when I was performing my ridiculous song and dance comedy stuff in Atlanta, and my set was so gimmicky. I had parody lyrics and tap dancing and puppetry, and my gimmicky bullcrap made Nichelle Nichols, this civil rights legend, crack up. She loved it. It is one of the greatest privileges I have ever had to entertain Nichelle Nichols, and if you are a sci-fi nerd, you get what a privilege that was.
Wow. Oh. The park, amazing. Good for you. Kim, yes, please.
Oh, when I was in high school, I worked on the stage crew for How to Succeed in Business, and I still know all the songs. But then 30-something years later, my daughter was a junior in high school, and she was Hedy LaRue. And I remember the moment that she walked on stage in these heels and this fur coat, and she just, like, she killed it. And I, that feeling I still tap into whenever I feel a little shy or anxious. I say, you know what? You're Chloe Monahan's mom. You can do this because she's got something. So,
what a wonderful memory. Congrats to your daughter on that one. Yes, that's amazing. Rachel, I saw your hand.
I was just going to say, because I didn't share a personal memory of me in the theater, but when I was 13, I got to do a show called Judy the Musical, which was all about Judy Garland's life. And it starred Paige O'Hara, who played the voice of Belle in Beauty and the Beast. And she was like a hero of mine. And when I auditioned for the show, I was a little too young, but she saw something in me and she just kept working with me on the audition. And she's been one of my biggest mentors since. And I got cast because of her. And yeah, it's just really special.
That is incredible. Thank you for that. Bringing us home, Lauren O'Brien. What is Yay. Your favorite memory?
I think this is my favorite theater memory because I told this story a bunch of times. Did you all see the movie What's Love Got to Do with It with Tina Turner, or know her story? You know when she does the Nam Myoho Renge Kyo chant that helps her leave the abusive relationship? Well, when I first moved to New York from, I had been living upstate, when I first moved to Queens, I wanted to be an actress. So I was working temp jobs and I met this beautiful woman and I had been doing yoga and I was very open. And she told me about that chant. And it's so funny, Sarah, that you were talking about like people meditating towards things that they want, because she told me to try an experiment where I chant Nam Myoho Kyo towards a goal I had, and I wanted an acting job, and I was like, all right, I'm gonna try it. I'm gonna chant every day to get an acting job, and I went to auditions, and 2 weeks later, I auditioned for one play, and I auditioned for The Odyssey, and then the director ran out of the room and said someone was leaving the tour that was happening right now, and could I go replace them? And so that was my first acting job that I had in New York after chanting Nam Myoho Kyo. So I was like, ooh, the power, the power of the chant manifesting. So wait, am I like proving what your play is about, Sarah?
I don't know. I think you got it because you increased your vibrations and you were sort of, you know, moving a more positive, maybe confident way and more aligned. And all kinds of good things will come to you. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
That makes perfect sense. Yes, I think so too. But that was very fun.
That is fantastic. What a great story. All of you, what great memories in general. Thank you all so much for sharing those with us. My final question as we wrap things up is, if our listeners would like more information about your show or about you, perhaps they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so? Kim, we're going to start with you and your show, Blocks of Sensation.
I would say, Follow me on Instagram. That's probably the easiest. KBARKE. I'm putting all kinds of stuff out there about that and hopefully future shows.
Perfect. Vulva va voom. How about you and Transmasculine Cabaret?
Sure. So folks can visit my website, which is vulvavavoom.com, vulva like the body part, and then V-A-V-O-O-M. That is where you can find my Linktree season touring schedule, Asheville, New York, Orlando, Tampa, Fort Myers, I think now Minnesota. Got my portfolio and some really rude burlesque photos. I'm also on Instagram at vulvavavoom. I'm outgoing. I love messages from people. Friendly messages or transphobic ones. Bring it.
Amazing. Jude and the show Faster, how about if people want to get more information about you two?
Well, I have a website, judetrederwolf.com. It's judetrederwolff.com, and all information about different projects I'm doing, this one and other shows I'm in. And I'm on Instagram, lifestage_inc. That's my company that produces Faster.
Wonderful. Edu, what about you and A Drag is Born?
Well, I would say just come to the 14th White Theater, April 6th, 9:50 p.m. to the premiere, to the world premiere of A Drag is Born. So that's the easiest way to find me because I'm very bad at spelling my name in English. EduDiaz.com is my website. If you find me, wow, that'd be awesome.
Fabulous. Sarah Raj with your show Yoga for Billionaires. If people want more information, how can they do so?
Two ways. You can follow me or us at Yoga for Billionaires on Instagram. And also we have a website, saraharaj.com/yogaforbillionaires. So yeah.
Perfect. Lauren O'Brien and the show Lolo's Boyfriend Show. What about you?
Well, we're currently building a website, but please find me on social media. I'm the Lolo Show on TikTok. On Facebook, I'm Lauren O'Brien Music Poet. And on Instagram, I'm Lauren O'Brien Music. So please come find me. I'll be waiting for you.
Fabulous. Rachel Redleaf and Too Much of a Good Thing. How can our listeners get a hold of you?
Yeah, same thing. Just hit me up on social media. All my accounts, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook are all Rachel Redleaf, RachelReDleaf. I'm excited to hear from you guys.
And rounding us out, we have the great Bridget Rose Parada and her show In Harmony.
Yes. So all of our information can be found on our Instagram, which is at InHarmonyNYC. And if you want to ask me any questions, you can go to my Instagram, which is at Bridget Rose Parada, B-R-I-D-G-E-T, Rose as in the flower, and then Parada, P-E-R-R-O-T-T-A.
Amazing. Thank you all so, so much for taking the time to speak with me today, for sharing your incredible works and all this amazing insight. It continues to get me so excited about the festival ahead. So I appreciate all of you and I congratulate all of you on these wonderful works. So thank you so much.
Thank you. This was amazing.
Thank you so much. It was a great podcast with you.
Thank you. Thank you, Andrew. So happy to meet all of you.
Yes, also yeah. The theater, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Good luck with your preparations.
Yes.
Thanks.
My guests today have been the incredible artist Kim Barkey, Vulva Vavoom, Jude Trader Wolf, Edu Diaz, Sarah Raj, Lauren O'Brien, Rachel Redleaf, and Bridget Rose Parada. All these amazing artists, as you've heard, have great works involved with the New York City Fringe Festival, which is happening April 3rd through the 21st at three venues this year, Under St. Mark's, The Wild Project, and 14Y Theater. You can get your tickets and more information right now by heading to frigid.nyc. We also are going to have some great contact information as well as dates for all of our guests posted on our episode description as well as on our social media posts. But right now, head to frigid.nyc, get your tickets, join us out there at the New York City Fringe Festival happening April 3rd through the 21st. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap those candies, and keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.